第三周，星期二专题演练。
Passage 1. Email is a new way of communication for professionals in every area all over the world. It is a means of meeting people with similar research interests or problems. Emailers write letters at leisure on their computers and then send them through their telephone line to an online terminal far away. Email addresses, either names or numbers, automatically send mails to the right locations. Emailing is not a live conversation, but, unlike the U.S. snail mail, as American emailers call their service, reply can be back at once or within hours, depending on how often the receiver checks in his computer. Email can also create friendship and draw families closer. Emailers sit in comfortable chairs and chat with the unseen friends or relatives in other parts of the country or of the world in front of the screen, feeling like meeting pals over a cup of coffee. Linda, a first-year student at Oxford University in Britain, drops a few lines to her mother in New York whenever she is near a terminal. "It's funny," says her mother. "We talk more now than when Linda lived upstairs." Sending email is far cheaper than making long-distance calls, and it may revive the almost lost art of letter writing. At the time when telephone service is becoming convenient and highly effective, people make calls instead of writing letters. Now, email has brought people back to their grammar, vocabulary, coherence, and even spelling when their fingers are dancing over the keyboard. Emailing brings people together and makes the world even smaller.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What is the passage mainly about?
Question 27. Which group of people are most likely to use email according to the speaker?
Question 28. What do American emailers say about the mail service of the country? Passage 2. The internet has led to a huge increase in credit card fraud. Your card information could even be for sale on an illegal website. Websites offering cheap goods and services should be regarded with care. Online shoppers who enter their credit card information may never receive the goods they thought they bought. The thieves then go shopping with your credit card number, or sell the information over the internet. Computer hackers have broken down security systems, raising questions about the safety of cardholder information. Several months ago, 25,000 customers of CD Universe, an online music retailer, were not lucky. Their names, addresses, and credit card numbers were posted on a website after the retailer refused to pay $157,828 to get back the information. Credit card firms are now fighting against online fraud. MasterCard is working on plans for a web-only credit card with a lower credit limit. The card could be used only for shopping online. However, there are a few simple steps you can take to keep from being cheated. Ask about your credit card company's online rules. Under British law, cardholders have to pay the first $78 of any cheating spending. Send your credit card information only if the website offers an advanced security system. If in doubt, give your credit card information over the telephone.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. What is the passage mainly discussing? Question 30. How can thieves get credit card information? Question 31. What could you do if you doubt the online security of sending credit card information? Passage 3. Carson McCullers had the brilliant and early success that has come to be almost a tradition of the Southern School. She was born in Columbus, Georgia, in 1917 of a family that was poorly off, but which sympathized with her early passion for music and writing. She started writing plays in her early teens under the influence of Eugene O'Neill. At age 17, she went to New York to a concert pianist, but she lost her tuition money in the subway and thereafter supported herself in a variety of jobs. From guarding the door for a near-bankrupt comic book publisher to playing the piano for dancing lessons in a settlement house. Returning from music to literature at 19, she sold 2 stories to Story magazine. Then she went back to the South to marry Reeves McCullers, who later died in 1953, and then they lived for 2 years at Fort Bragg, where he was stationed. It was in this period, which is in 1940, that she wrote The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, whose publication made her immediately famous. It is extraordinary enough for a first novel, but it is prodigious for an author of 22. Mrs. McCullers, understandably, had not yet learned the tight control of her art that was to make her next book so memorable. But The Heart is a Lonely Hunter embraces all the themes that she was later to deal with more particularly.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 32. What topic is the passage mainly concerned with? Question 33. What was the attitude of Carson McCullers' family toward her ideal?
Question 34. What did Carson McCullers go to New York to study?
Question 35. When did Carson McCullers write the book, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter?